There is still that distinctive Berlin underground scene, bars with dingy lighting, graffiti on the walls, and a general aesthetic of self-conscious seediness. But talk to the customers here, and many will tell you the same story, that this city has lost its one-time radical edge.
When I arrived, there was still more alternative spirit, something anarchistic, let's say. You could come naked riding on a tiger if you wanted to. Nobody gave anything about what you were doing. It has changed. You know, you find fashion stores. It's less alternative than it was.
Steffi, you've been living here for a while. How do you think Berlin has changed and is changing?
Berlin is no longer revolutionary. There are not punks anymore. The prices come up. And when I arrived, people were living in empty houses. And now, well, there are no empty houses anymore.
This is not, of course, the only city to experience gentrification. There are plenty of places around the world where once poor neighbourhoods have been redeveloped. Property prices rise, locals are driven out. But what happened to West Berlin really was a one-off, because what you had were areas that were once on the outskirts of the city, right up against the Berlin Wall. Then the wall came down, and almost overnight residents found themselves smack in the middle of a newly unified city. I'm just walking through Kreuzberg, which was previously on the margins. Now everything feels rather more shishi, with elegant cafes rather than bars and squats. Less Lenin, more lattes.
It was very amazing, because suddenly from one day to the other, your city doubled. I mean, the whole cityscape changed.
Tanja Dukas is a novelist whose stories chronicle the changing lives of Berlin residents, both east and west.
It's almost a unique case in history that a closed city is suddenly opened up to architects, of course, could build, and it was really like a free space. So you can't say Berlin is like this or that. 2 years from now, Berlin will be a different city again.
25 years after the wall fell, is this a truly united city? Are West Berlin and East Berlin pretty indistinguishable now?
Oh, there are still a lot of differences. For example, in the educational system. My son now, being raised in East Berlin, grows up with a lot more like communist ideas, a lot more authoritarian. Go to the corner, go stay in the corner.
They are still working to make Berlin one again, particularly reconstructing the rather shabbier eastern areas. Look out of a top floor window and you see a cityscape dominated by cranes, while down on the ground, pneumatic drills have become the ever-present soundtrack. Berlin's municipal authorities were starting from scratch. No town planning textbook ever explained how to deal with reunification. There were puzzles like how to merge the two metro networks of east and west and reunite what were two separate sewage systems. But for the city's head of strategy, Elke Platter, the real difficulty has been how to reconcile two very different approaches to Berlin's development.
The idea in the eastern part was to have a modern urban fabric for a modern socialist society. Modern buildings, such as high-rise buildings. In the western part of the city, there was more emphasis on preserving the old neighborhoods. I think for all of us, it was the biggest challenge we could have in our working life to adopt these different attitudes towards what a city should be.
It's not just Berlin's physical fabric that's undergone drastic alteration. This is a city that always attracted creative figures, artists, writers, and musicians like David Bowie, who credits Berlin with inspiring some of his most memorable songs. There still is a creative scene in Berlin, indeed a growing one. But these days, it sounds like this. Computer games are big business in Berlin now. Successful game design companies like Wooga have joined other tech industries, setting up their offices in the east of the city. Wooga's spokeswoman, Marie-Blanche Sturzinger, explained the attraction.
I think maybe the fact that it was a fun place to hang out and party attracted interesting people, and those interesting people grew up and came up with economically viable business ideas. It's not just about, you know, that bohemian art gallery you might have had in some squat. The city has changed tremendously. There are nice places that you can live in or nice restaurants that you can go to. Change isn't always a bad thing.
a sentiment I heard echoed by two of Berlin's new breed of hipster, who joined me for a drink. Manuel and Felix are both unashamed capitalists. They came here to try and make their fortunes with a new mobile phone app. But Berlin, they insist, still has its distinctive appeal. Still a place of refuge for Germans who just didn't feel at home elsewhere in Germany.
I didn't want to be surrounded by a very conservative mindset that doesn't really as easily allow people to be themselves. Like, for example, I like boys, I'm gay, and that is something that is just something that doesn't happen in Bavaria at all. I mean, that's much easier in a city like Berlin.
And that's still here in Berlin, that tolerant spirit that you're talking about.
Of course, the city has changed a lot. Many people have become slightly less political, but still the greatest place to live in Germany, if not in Europe.
Do you think you're going to stay here then?
Most definitely.